7. I love this. Now let me just step back a second. The writer of Hebrews is trying to convince Christians, Hebraic, Messianic Christians, raised in the synagogues, that these guys and dudes running around trying to convince you that you got to get back to the law, you got to get back to that way of life, are wrong. That it's only in Jesus that you find life. It's not in the law. The law can't make you perfect. The law can't change you. The law can't do. It doesn't do that. The Levitical priesthood can't accomplish anything. It doesn't finish the work. You can't be made perfect by that. You can't be made complete. You can't reach your end, which is the word teleion and what it means. You can't do that. Only one can do that because of an enduring life. I love 25. If you underline in your Bible, you ought to have verse 25 underlined. I'm going to go back up to verse 23. Furthermore, the former priests, the Levitical priesthood, who were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, Melchizedek, he holds a priesthood permanently because he continues for how long? Forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. He stood in the gap for us. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we, when we come to him, might be declared righteous in his sight. And that doesn't go away, even if we don't keep the law. Okay? I see that look. We are saved by what Jesus did for us, not by our ability to keep anything. You say, okay, Jeff, cut to the chase. We should live such joy-filled lives because we don't have to worry or think that God's mad at us. Because Jesus took care of all of that so that in him we may know that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's always around, and the work that he did for us on the cross has been accomplished, and that's what matters. Amen? Don't let anybody steer you away. Don't let yourself steer you away from thinking that you're not good enough. Don't let anybody, you blew this here, so therefore you can't. They're not the determining factor. Amen? Jesus is the determining factor, and he has a priesthood. He stands in the gap between us and God and for God to us so that everything is together. I feel like I need to preach this differently again, because I want us to hear and see this. Jesus is alive. And what he has done to accomplish for us salvation and life. He has given his life so that death might be destroyed. He has given his life so that sin might be forgiven in our lives. He has given his life so we can be with him now and forever. He has given his life because he has an enduring priesthood, he has an unconditional love, and he has a grace that goes beyond anything we can ever imagine. This is amazing grace. I hope and pray that this can get into us. You see, Jesus appeared in the Old Testament to establish something for us down here on the road. And when he showed up, He completed that. He fulfilled that. And now we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we need to let that invade every avenue of our lives. I want us to do this, okay? Because I think there are things that, if I'm honest, I know I do this, and I'm guessing maybe you do this too. There are things we think that keep us from God. You know, I've done this. I've been this. I have trouble. This thought keeps coming into my head. I wish it wouldn't come into my head. I keep struggling. I've tried to stop this sin, and the harder I try, the worse it gets. Anybody ever experienced that? That's because you're living under the law, not grace. Because there's a power in mercy. Here, you all know that. That when we cry for mercy, it's not just for forgiveness. It's the power to help us to walk in the realities that bring us grace and life. That's why I spend a lot of time in my day saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I need His power. I need His strength. I need His peace, His rightness, His work that He wants to do in my life. I need that every day." And why is this important? First of all, I think it's really cool that Jesus was Melchizedek. But even more, it means that God's been working all this time for the purpose of bringing us in and being with us and having us as His kids. So let's don't make the determining factor whether we're a part of it. Let Him make the determining factor. Amen? Okay. Now there's something very simple that I just want to close with today. I don't know how it happened, but when Melchizedek came out to Abraham and he blessed him from God Most High. And as he blessed him, he brought out bread and wine. And I'm guessing he probably broke the bread and blessed the cup. And they shared it with Abraham, kind of as a covenant meal, a presence with the establishment of the covenant of Abraham. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus, and if you can handle this, much like I think He probably did with Abraham, He took bread and He broke it and He blessed it and He said, "This is My body which is given for you. As oft as you eat it, eat in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup and He blessed and He said, "This is a cup of my blood that's poured out for a new covenant for the remission of sins." Melchizedek did that with Abram. Jesus did it with the disciples. All as an indication of this relationship that He wants to have with us. Beginning with Abraham, through Psalm 110, to the life of Jesus, to Hebrews, and to October 10th, 2021, right here in Blackwell, Oklahoma. And so what we're about to do puts us in a whole lineage of God saying, "I love you and I want to be with you. For now and forever." This is not a cheap moment. It is very special. And it is for us to know His presence as we break the bread and bless the cup. Dan, would you pray?